1 Timothy 6, verse number 18. Ready? That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. So, ready to distribute. This is talking about the saints of God now. We are to do good works. We're to be rich in good works. Talking about saved people. But ready to distribute. What did we do this past weekend? We had two outreaches going on and we distributed truth. We distributed gospel tracts so that people would have the saving gospel of grace in their hand that they could read about. Okay, so ready to distribute. We are a distributing people. Go to Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4. Acts 4, look at verse 34. Acts 4, verse number 34. Let's read 34 and 35 together. Ready? Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the pieces of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. You got that? Just checking your sound back. Okay. So what happened here? Another example of distribution. If a brother or sister had a need in the early church, and we should follow that example, by the way, this is for us too, they would distribute to them as they saw what was needed. We're a distributing people. That's what God has called us to do. So this morning, what I'd like to talk to you about is the word dispensation. Everybody say that, especially young people, right? Yeah, dispensation. Dispensation. We see that word come up four times in the Bible. Have you heard of the term dispensationalism?
Yes.
Okay. We want to get a biblical definition of it this morning, because the next seven or eight lessons are going to have to do with different dispensations. But the word dispensation means to what? My daughter does this. I ask her what the definition of a word is, and she gives me that word in the definition. So if I were to ask you, what does it mean? What does dispensation mean? She would say something like, it means to dispense. You use the word in the definition. Well, that's what it means. It means to dispense or to distribute. That's what dispensation means in the Bible. To distribute. Let me hear all you young people say that. Distribute. Unfortunately, in our day, we have dispensaries around our country that aren't dispensing good things. You see these drug dispensaries or marijuana dispensaries. I doubt it's the people that actually need medicinal help. But in any event, I'm using that to show that everybody is dispensing something. We are to distribute and to dispense out the truth of the gospel. Now, I said all that to say this. If a dispensation means to distribute, and we'll look at some context to prove this from the Bible, then it doesn't or can't mean that it's a period of time. Okay, get that in your mind, because over the next 7 or 8 weeks, that is going to come up quite a lot. And this understanding of what a dispensation is will help us get an understanding between the biblical definition of a dispensation versus the biblical definition of a division. So everybody say, dispensation.
Dispensation.
Now say, division.
Division.
And we can't make them the same, or we'll get stuff jumbled up and we might be confused about some doctrine. But if we can understand a dispensation and a division as two separate things, we can see how now they come together, and now we don't get tripped up in doctrine. And this will start to make more sense over the weeks to come. When something is dispensed out, it has a, in the Bible, when truth is dispensed out, there's a starting point for that truth. God dispenses a truth in a time period, at a time in history, God dispensed a truth. Does that truth, does it ever come to an end point where it stops being true? No, it doesn't. So the dispensing of truth has a start date, but it doesn't have an end date. God dispenses that truth. It's true all the time. Now, it might not be applicable to you or I right now. An example is the law of Moses. We don't have to follow the law of Moses, right? It was given to the Israelites. I'll circle back to that thought a little bit later because we do use the law. How do we use it? Well, I got ahead of myself. How do we use the law? We use it lawfully, right? We use it to point people to Christ. It's used as a schoolmaster. So even though it's not directly applicable to us where we're under it, it's still a truth that's been dispensed and can be used today by us because when we witness, have you ever told a lie? We're pointing people to God's law so that God's law works as a schoolmaster to bring them to Christ where they see themselves in violation of God's holy commandments and His Word. So go to Ephesians chapter 3 and we have four times in the Bible the word dispensation is used. Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm going to need some strong voices to read the first two verses with me together. All right, ready? Ephesians 3, we'll all read verse 1 and 2. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. So something has been given to Paul. It's been dispensed to Paul. And then Paul then is commanded to dispense that truth to others. He received something, and now he's going to dish out to others what he received. Who's he going to give it to? Who has the answer? It's in verse 1. The Gentiles. That's right. That's right. So do we see that? Now let's read verses 3 through 6 together. Ready? 3 through 6. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. So what Paul is charged to do is really the same charge that we have. Is what? To tell others the gospel. That's exactly right. That's the charge. That's what was dispensed to Paul. Let's read verse number 7. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. So by God's grace, Paul was given what according to that verse, everybody?
Grace.
Okay. He was. But look at it a little closer. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God. Paul was given a gift. He was given the gift to be able to do what? Minister the grace of the gospel to others. That's what Paul was given. That gift to be able to do that. He was to stay focused on teaching the gospel of the grace of God. How did he receive this gift? Let's see. Look at verse 7. It's right in there. It's the last word. Power. And I guess in other words, let me ask this question. What enabled Paul to be able to do that? The power of the Holy Spirit. Young people, what enabled Paul to use his gift? The power of the Holy Spirit. So when you are out, how many of you young people handed out tracts over the past month somewhere? Young people. Okay, just about all of you. Under whose power were you doing it? That's the question for really all of us. We can do it in our own power. I mean, we can thank God for our physical strength to be able to go like this, right? And use that. But we better sanctify the Lord in our heart first before we, okay? It's the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to do what we do spiritually. So look at verse number 8. Let's read that. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Man, Paul's got a gift, and he is going to dispense out the gospel. He is going to dispense, or he's going to do what, Milani? What's another word we used for that? Dispense. Preach, or Wilder? What did we say dispense meant? Disperse. Distribute. Right. Give out. Right. He's giving it out. It's being dispensed to others. Last verse here. Verse number 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, from which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now this is happening in time. But this word dispensation, when it shows up, although it's happening at a period of time in history, it is not a time period. It is Paul being given a gift. Its truth has been dispensed to him. It's no longer a mystery. It was hid in God. It's always been true. But now Paul has a revelation from God now, and he is able to dispense out this truth. Does that make sense? I want us to get this. Now, some people teach because they conflate dispensations and divisions together, and they come up with teachings that says, from the fall to the law, people were saved by faith. But from the law to Christ, people were saved by works. From the law to the cross. And then they'll say, well, and then from the cross to the rapture, the catching away of the church, people are now saved by faith. But wait, from the rapture up into the millennium through Daniel's 70th week, people are saved by faith and works. And I say, wait, at the end of the Daniel's 70th week, then in the millennial, people are saved by works. And so what you have is you have all of these at least five different ways that people are being saved. God has always saved someone's soul the same way throughout time, by grace. By grace. He is always saved by grace. Based on what? Yes. Faith in what? Yes. Yes. Faith based on the light or the truth that has been revealed to them at that particular time in history. Because the church in the book of Acts didn't have all that we have. We have a more sure word of prophecy. They didn't have that. The Old Testament prophets, they were preaching things that some of them didn't even believe. I mean, they believed God, but they didn't see how God saw it. They just believed what God told them to do, and they did it. So that by faith, they trusted God, and God saved them by grace. Now, we can't go down this rabbit trail and open this up. We have other lessons that we've done on them. But you have to understand that there's different salvations in the Bible as well. Are we talking about someone's soul being regenerated? Or are we talking about a physical salvation? And all that has to come into play when we rightly divide the word of truth. So, God has always saved people the same way, by grace, in the truth that God has dispensed out at that time. I think we got that. All right, any questions so far on that? Sometimes you got a question in your mind as we go through something. I don't want you to lose it, but okay. All right, go to 1 Corinthians 9. We'll look at the next, or the second time we see it show up. 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. And let's see if this is a time period. Let's see. 1 Corinthians 9, when this word shows up. Let's read verses 16 through 18 together. Okay, ready? For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, what is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. We already talked about he had power, right? We already went through that in Ephesians. Now, does this sound like this is, when this word dispensation is used, does it sound like it's a time period? It doesn't. It sounds like an unknown truth is now not unknown anymore to Paul. And now he is fully committed to doing this. So it's a woe versus a reward. If I do or if I do not. If I do not, woe unto me. Have you received the gospel of the grace of God? Woe unto you if you don't tell others and dispense it to others. Have I received it? Well, I should be ready. Reward. I go and preach the gospel. You know, Christians will be rewarded for their work down here on earth that's done for the Lord, for the Lord. Now, look at verse number 17, because here comes a question. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Is the doctrine of the gospel in this verse, in this context, is that the dispensation? Is the doctrine the dispensation? Look at it, think about it. And give me your answer. Is the doctrine of the gospel the dispensation? Read that and then verse 18. Or is the responsibility to teach and preach the gospel the responsibility? Look at the last four words of verse 17. Does it say, is committed unto me? Okay, if something's been committed unto you, Milani, if your parents tell you, okay, here's the chore chart for the day. Clean your room. Feed the cows. Check on the chickens. Gather the eggs. And they say, I am committing these chores to you. It's been dispensed to you. And now you have what? A responsibility, right? All you young people say that. Responsibility.
Responsibility.
All right. Now come on up here and you can each grab a Pez dispenser. And that is called a Pez what? A Pez dispenser. So what does the Pez dispenser do? Excellent. Now, what does that Pez dispenser do, young people? Come on up here with your Pez dispensers. My parents aren't here, so I won't get in trouble for it. Let me scoot by here. I won't get in trouble for having candy in the morning on a Sunday morning. What does a Pez dispenser do?
It dispenses candy.
It dispenses candy. Okay, I'm ready to receive one. You open that top of that Pez dispenser. It dispenses a piece of candy, and now I take it. That's what a Pez dispenser does. Go ahead and dispense some Pez to your parents or whoever you'd like in the church. Go ahead. Dispense some Pez. You got to turn them around. Well, this was a thing when I was a kid. It's not so much anymore, I guess. You got to turn it around. So the same way we talked about Milani has these chores, they've been committed unto her. The dispensation wasn't the doctrine. The dispensation was the responsibility to do what was committed unto you. Good. All right, you guys can have a seat. Keep your Pez dispensers. Look at verse number 18. 1 Corinthians 9. Let's read verse 18 one more time. Ready? What is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. I want to say this so that if it ever creeps up, we understand how to answer it. Some people say that Paul had a different gospel. This is a group called the Paul-only crowd. It's only what Paul said that we go by. And Paul had his own gospel. That is not what this verse or the other verses are speaking about. A new gospel was not revealed to Paul. What was given or revealed to Paul was the same gospel that we preach. What he got was the power of the Holy Spirit and the knowledge to be able to dispense it, to be able to distribute it, to be able to tap into the power that's been committed unto him to get it out there. It's not a new or another gospel. It's the same gospel that I believe, that you believe, is what Paul believed. It's the same gospel.
Brother, can I ask you a question real quick?
Yeah.
So, well, on to that point, I think at the beginning of Corinthians, Paul speaks to that, talking to Corinthians about being divided, following Apollos versus Paul versus Peter.
Right.
And I think he says, you know, that we're following Christ. But in verse 17 here, what we just read in chapter 9, when it says, "For if I do this thing willingly, I have the reward. But if against my will," does that mean in the analogy that you were given, Milani, about chores, even begrudgingly, not begrudgingly, or sharing the gospel when we don't feel like it, or what is that speaking to?
Well, so when we talk about our judgment, and we're going to get into this later this afternoon, this morning, I believe, but when we talk about our judgment as Christians, It's at the judgment seat of Christ where we're going to be judged based on our service for the Lord, and we'll receive rewards. There's five crowns that are talked about. So we will receive rewards from the Lord. We're not going to be judged based on our sin that was taken care of at the cross. So that's where that reward is coming into. So the woe is, if I preach not the gospel, I'm not doing what God committed me to do. You could be doing it begrudgingly. That's right. Bless God, if you don't get out there and serve God, you're on your way to hell. And, you know, and I get you to come out and witness with me because you're scared to death. Well, that's not really for the Lord. That's just me being good at scare tactics. So you don't want to do something begrudgingly. No reward for that. You're not doing it for the Lord. Yeah. Brother?
Amen. At the end of that, I was thinking the same thing, reading that. Mm-hmm. At the end of it, it says, then, what is my reward then?
Yeah, or that makes sense.
Yes, sir. Exactly right.
Well, I was just going to ask that question, but like, he goes into that and says,
right,
if I do it begrudgingly, and then he follows up by, well, then what is your reward? You've done something that you really didn't want to do.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's right. And go to Romans 16 as well. We'll be getting to this verse by verse soon enough. But in Romans 16, verse 7, Paul's given his final salutes and he's commending people in this last chapter of Romans. In verse number 7, watch what he says at the end. And he says, "And my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me." So Paul didn't have a new gospel because he's saying that I have some fellow saints, some fellow brothers and sisters that were in Christ before me. In other words, before God, before Paul received the gospel, before Paul received the revelation, you have people that were in Christ before him. It's the same thing. Paul didn't have a separate gospel. There was just a period of time where there was something that was unknown to Paul, and now it was made known. Same with us. Same with any believer, quite honestly. All right, Colossians 1. We'll go to the third place. Colossians 1. Look at verse number 23. Colossians 1, 23. Let's read that together. "If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." So we have no hope in religion. We have no hope in government. We have no hope. Fill in the blank. Give me one.
Sports.
No hope in sports. What else? No hope in
knowledge.
Right. No hope in
Kenneth Copeland,
amen. All right. We don't have any hope. We only have hope in the gospel. So we have to be careful what we preach when we go outside of these four walls. Within the body of Christ, we are to edify the saints. We're preaching a lot of doctrine. I mean, especially you come Sunday afternoon and midweek service. I mean, we're getting on some heavy stuff. It's heavy duty. But we don't go and preach that out into the world. What is our message to the world?
The gospel.
The hope is the gospel. And you have to be careful because even though it's all true, it's all Bible, we want to know it all, the bottom line is an unregenerated person isn't going to be able to handle spiritual things. So we want to point them to Jesus. And look, it's easy to get off on rabbit trails. It's so easy. I am guilty of it as much as you are. I start off talking about somebody with the gospel. Next thing you know, we're on to something else. And I'm like, how did I get here? But our hope is the gospel. Our hope is the gospel. And we just can't be moved from that. And Paul, it says, he was made a minister of that gospel. Look at verses 27. Yeah, I think that's right. Colossians 1. Let's read verses 27, 28, and 29 together. Ready? "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily." What is working in you? God dispensed truth to Paul. He gave him the power so he can get it out to others. Now, did we read the word dispensation yet in Colossians 1? Who can find it? It's in verse 20-something. Colossians 1.
25.
You got it, Jamin. Why don't you read that aloud, brother?
"Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God."
Excellent. "Whereof I am made a minister according to" what? "The dispensation of God." Look at this. Dispensation, and now look, "is given to me from God." It was given to Paul. It was dispensed to Paul. Given to me for who? You. God dispensed it to Paul. Paul dispensed it to someone else. Did you witness to someone this week? You dispensed the truth to them. If they trust Christ, what's their responsibility? To dispense the truth to others. We are in the dispensary business of truth. That's what a dispensation in the Bible is. Did that happen during a period of time when that was written? Yes, but that truth does not cease to ever end. It is always and ever true. Now, let me ask you this. Does the church age end? Right. Yeah, shake your head. Yes, the church age will end. The church will be caught up.
They'll end at the rapture.
But let me ask you this. Does that truth end? Do we ever stop being part of the body of Christ?
No.
We never do. We never do. So that is an example of a division in the Bible. The church age is considered a division, but when that time period or that division ends, the truth that's been dispensed doesn't end. We are always part of Christ. That's never going to change or end. Does that make sense? That makes sense? I won't say last. Go to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. Let's read verses 9 and 10 together. Nice and loud, young people. Ephesians 1, verse 9 and 10. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. This is talking about all that God has done. All that God has done, we're being seen here in Ephesians 1. Now let's read verses 11 and 12 together. Ready? In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. According to verses 11 and 12, and in the context of what we read, what is predestinated? Our purpose. There's nothing about being predestinated to go anywhere. It has to do with you're predestinated to be something. Watch what it says in verse 12. That we should what? All right, we need to hear a little bit louder. Young people, that we should be. What God predestinated was, before the foundation of the world, God predestinated that all those who would trust Christ, He predestinated that all those that would be in His body are predestinated to be to the praise of His glory. Look at verse number 4 and 5. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. All those that are in Christ, it has been predestinated that you should be something. You should be holy. You should be without blame before Him in love. So that means this. We don't have to have a prayer meeting to figure out how we should live. Well, you know what, preacher? The Lord's really pressing upon my heart. We should have a prayer meeting and we should all figure out how we should live our lives. And I'm going to be the mean preacher that says, no, we're not. We don't need to do that. You know why? Because it's predestinated that we should live holy and blameless and do everything to the glory of His name. In other words, we don't have to pray about that. God predestinated for all of us to live holy, to live without blame. There's nothing to pray about. Amen? Amen. Verse 10. We're going to have to wrap it up and we'll finish it up next week. Verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ. The dispensation is that all things point to Christ. I want to have a fulfilling life. Christ. Everything. The fullness of your life, the fullness of my life, everything is about pointing to Christ. That's why we point people to Him. And so this fullness of times, God's plan is this. The fullness of time, the fullness of times, the fullness of God's plan is this. That we would get busy distributing the gospel so that all could be gathered into Christ. We need to get busy dispensing. Dispensing. Young people, you got your Pez dispensers? Okay, you excited about that? Keep it. Keep it. Actually, come on up here and grab a couple of extra candy things here. How many got? 2, 4, 5, 6 kids. Oh, you bet. Go ahead and grab some. Now, let me say this. Kids get these. These were a big thing when I was a kid, Pez dispensers. But we had to look around for a while to find them. Sent Cheyenne down to Party City or something. She went and found them, but I couldn't find them. I hope people, if they're looking for the gospel in Cookeville, Tennessee, I hope they'd know right where to find it. I hope they'd know. They'd say, you know what? We're going to call up those crazy folks over at Pilgrim Baptist. Those ones we see out all the time holding signs and passing tracts out and yelling at people. Those real mean ones. No, we're not mean. We're just excited about dispensing the truth. When I was a kid, man, we got those Pez dispensers. My mom always got it. She always put in our stockings in Christmas. I mean, we had Pez dispensers. We'd go around the neighborhood and we'd, you know, all the kids had Pez. We're distributing it back and forth. Man, this is cool. God has dispensed to us the gospel truth. Man, I hope we are that excited. I hope we're that excited to get it out to this lost and dying world.